From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Faith of God's Elect, a study of the Epistle to Titus. The Apostle Paul gave his close friend Titus the task of preaching to a church that was located in the midst of a vile society, a church which was being influenced by the wickedness around them, as well as by false teachers in their own ranks. Fully aware of the opposition Titus would face, Paul sent him with credentials validated by Paul's own authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Titus's assignment was to present the body of truth which defines the true gospel. This is the sound doctrine to which Paul refers in the opening chapter. It is this to which the church must adhere and preach in every age and to every nation. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Staircase to Heaven. The text is John chapter 1, verse 51. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Yes, to our faith this sight is plain, even at this day. We do see heaven opened. Jesus himself has opened that kingdom to all believers. We gaze into the place of mystery and glory, for he has revealed it to us. We shall enter it soon, for he is the way. Now we see the explanation of Jacob's ladder. Between earth and heaven there is a holy commerce. Prayer ascends, and answers come down by way of Jesus the Mediator. We see this ladder when we see our Lord. In him a stairway of light now furnishes a clear passage to the throne of the Most High. Let us use it, and send up by it the messengers of our prayers. We shall live the angelic life ourselves, if we run up to heaven in intercession, and lay hold upon the blessings of the covenant, and then descend again to scatter those gifts among the sons of men. This choice sight, which Jacob saw only in a dream, will turn into bright reality. This very day we will be up and down the ladder each hour, climbing in communion and coming down to labor to save our fellow men. This is thy promise, O Lord Jesus. Let us joyfully see it fulfilled.
Exalting you, I come before your throne, rejoicing.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
In the midst of that vile and filthy situation, there are men, blameless, the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not given to filthy lucre, blameless, the husbands of one wife, with faithful children and well-run families. There were such men. You see, it's possible to live for God and live in holiness and transcend the wickedness of any age. There is no excuse for a Christian living out his life in defeat and living out his life in sin. There is no excuse whatsoever. Paul is looking at the vilest society that you can think about, and he says, fight men like this and ordain them as bishops or elders in the church. It was a big task that young Titus had, and Paul knew that he was going to run right into a brick wall of determined opposition. And knowing that, he realized that there was only one thing that was going to give Titus the ear of the people, and that would be the assurance that in truth he was there with the authority, the divinely given authority of an apostle. And that's why Paul commenced the epistle with these striking words. You may think it strange that he would introduce himself to one of his best friends like this. What need of such an introduction? When you look at this, this is one of the longest introductions in the New Testament. There's only one or two introductions of greater length than this. So why would he need to do this to one of his most personal and intimate friends? Well, the truth is, this was more for the consumption of others than it was for Titus. And so he starts off saying, I am an apostle according to the faith of God's elect. Now what that means is made clear by what follows, where he says, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Their acknowledgement, as the Greek text would indicate, their acknowledgement or their recognition of the truth is the equivalent to the faith of God's elect. In other words, what Paul is saying, I am an apostle according to, that's a very common little preposition that's actually very difficult at many times to translate. And here it would mean, I believe, that it's in the interests of the faith of God's elect. I am an apostle, says Paul, to bring God's elect to the faith, to believing, or to acknowledge the truth that is according to godliness. You see, Paul was right at the very beginning insisting that faith is more than simply saying, oh yes, I believe, I give my assent to that. I acknowledge with my head or with my words the truth of that proposition or that statement. That's part of faith. But Paul is going a whole lot further, and he's saying there is a faith here which leads to such an acknowledgement, such a recognition of the truth of the gospel as profoundly changes the life and leads God's elect into true godliness. Now Paul says, I'm an apostle, and my calling is to lead God's elect to the faith. You'll see immediately what he's claiming here. He's saying, in effect, if that's the truth, and it is, then only the reprobate would reject the message that I'm sending. The apostles never, for a moment, showed the mealy-mouthed. I don't know where that expression came from, but I think it's very descriptive. The mealy-mouthed pansies that have come to occupy the Christian pulpit, who are afraid to speak up or speak out for God. Paul was not afraid. Neither was the Apostle John. He said, for example, in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Paul is saying anybody among God's elect will be led to faith and blessing, obedience and godliness through this ministry. And if you don't like it and you don't accept it, you are simply branding yourself as reprobate and not elect. That's the claim that he's making. And that's the force behind this expression, the faith of God's elect. I suppose you could simply say that it is their belief in and their reception of the truth of the gospel. I want us to think of this expression tonight and the great doctrine that it teaches, that there is a body of truth that God has revealed and that is received by all his elect to the saving of their souls. There is a body of truth revealed by God and received by his elect to the saving of their souls. I will make only two basic points. One, we deal with the essential truths of the gospel. In many ways, Paul is here referring to a body of Christian doctrine that is necessary to salvation. There are certain truths that are so fundamental, that are so essential, that you can't be saved without knowing them and without receiving them. In this epistle, for example, Paul lays great emphasis on sound doctrine. Look at chapter 1 and verse 9, where he says, holding fast the faithful word. If you were to get a word-for-word translation of what he wrote, it would say simply, holding to the faith of the word according to the doctrine. Holding to the faith of the word according to the doctrine. Then look at what he says again, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. He mentions this a number of times in the verses that follow. For example, in verse 13 he speaks of those who are sound in the faith. In chapter 2, verse 1, sound doctrine. Again, verse 2, sound in the faith. You turn over to this epistle, and you find that the whole emphasis is upon people getting a grip of sound doctrine and living by it. This word sound, actually a couple of words that are very closely related, but the idea probably is best seen if I remind you, this is the word that gives us the English word hygiene. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about something that's healthy, something that's wholesome. What he's making out here is the gospel that we preach is not the diseased opinion of man. The gospel is the pure and wholesome revelation of God. And on the contrary, what Paul is saying, of course, is that what others are preaching, what the opponents of the gospel are preaching, is diseased. It's unhealthy. It's deadly. You remember Peter called it damnable heresy or destructive heresy. You see, pureness of doctrine is something important. We live in a day when doctrine is played down. Don't talk too much about distinctive doctrine. It's how people live that matters. But let's understand this. Ideas, you've heard the statement, ideas have consequences. What is preached will have a consequence. I think of a body of Christians, very influential at a time in Britain and much further afield, that deliberately adopted a theology of antinomianism. That we owe nothing to the law of God. That the law of God is not in any way, shape or form or to any degree a standard of Christian obedience or Christian living. Now that idea has a consequence. At the beginning, when it was stated, The reason for the statement of it was a faithful and true, though misguided, desire to expound what they took to be truth. They missed the truth. But it was not because they wanted to go out and get into wickedness and sin. But as they kept on preaching that sort of drivel, it wasn't very long before the people under them were infected with the very vilest of sin. Ideas do have consequences. False doctrine is damnable and it is destructive. It will destroy your soul. It will destroy your family, your children. It will take them as lambs out of a flock the way a bear would take them, and it will destroy them. Only the gospel is pure and wholesome and health-giving. So Paul is emphasizing the body of Christian doctrine that's absolutely essential to the saving of souls and to the good of men and women. Now, he doesn't go down the list and say, here's the list of the fundamentals. Sometimes we wish that he had done that. It'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? But he doesn't do that. Rather, he, in this epistle, dwells on the basic themes of the gospel. God, grace, godliness, and glory. Those are the four great themes that he here expounds as the fundamentals of the faith of God's elect. He starts with God. Why? Because everything has to start with him. That's where creation started, isn't it? In the beginning, God. That's where life itself came from. He is the creator of it. That's where salvation comes from. Just as truly as creation, so the new creation starts with God. God spoke and it was done. Similarly in the new birth, in the new life, it starts with God. This is something that's very often overlooked in gospel preaching. You start at the very basis. It's with God. And this is the most fundamental truth of all. God is. And he is what the Bible and the gospel say he is. That's God. Now, when you stop to think of it, what can you say about God with any confidence? What can I say about God with any confidence? All across the world there are innumerable religions and philosophies and theories and ideas. And they all say this about God and that about God and the other thing about God. How on earth is it possible for any man to say anything meaningful or right or true about God? And the answer should be abundantly clear and plain. There should be no disputing this. The only thing that we can say about God is something that God has first said about himself and has made it known to us. Cornelius Van Til, the great apologist out of Westminster Seminary, now with the Lord. He's the man who produced what are called presuppositional apologetics. If you don't understand that, just grin and say hallelujah. You'll get to heaven just as well without understanding it. And I say that as somebody who greatly admires the system. But Van Til used to say that when God created man, he created him to be not the interpreter of God, but to be the reinterpreter. To think God's thoughts after him. To say about God what God said about himself. And if that was true in the initial creation, how much more true is it today in this fallen world where men's minds are darkened by sin and their hearts are corrupted by iniquity? Where we would rather believe the lie than believe the truth. When the light that is in man is darkness. In this situation, how much more do we need to stick to what God says about himself?
You've been been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.